Hello, Holy Cross Sunday School teachers and families and friends. It's good to be back. And we are here doing our series of podcasts. And the goal of these podcasts is that they come out weekly, is just to give all teachers and all families just an overview and a little bit of a more in-depth look at the lessons for each coming Sunday. So now that school year is back and we've had a good and successful back to school bash, we are ready to dive right in with our podcasts again. So for those that might be new to listening to the podcasts or are unfamiliar with them, the basic overview will kind of run something like this. We'll actually have the Bible text read to us, and then when I'm by myself in these podcasts, I will play a dramatized audio version of the English Standard Version, and then I will pause at certain points throughout and make sort of comments or background notes on it. And then after that, we'll talk a little bit about some implications and ways to extend the lesson. So we'll talk a little bit about ways to extend the lesson with smaller children, and then with older children and youth. And then after that, we'll try and do the law gospel game, where we attempt to summarize the law and the gospel in one sentence. Just a reminder too that the law is what God expects of humans. Any sort of implication or thing for us to do there, or a reminder of our failure that is done. And then the gospel is talking about the main point of emphasis, that it's all about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Then we open and close with prayer. And then for the last couple of episodes on the podcast, I had been closing with a song. And so this week, we will, I think, continue to do the same thing. So, again, welcome to all of you as teachers, and thanks for your commitment this year. I just hope that you take the time to, to learn and grow. And what I've found whenever I teach anything is that sometimes I'm the one that ends up learning a lot more and benefiting from the act of teaching and preparing, and I just hope and pray that that's the case for you as well. So hope to have some special guests on the podcast with us this year too. Now, to look ahead with the scope and sequence a little bit as to what's coming down the pike for you, this week we are looking at Jesus and Zacchaeus, and then next week we're looking at the widow's offering. So we have two lessons that are pretty close together in the Bible there, and then we will jump ahead to Revelation and look at John's vision of heaven. That's Labor Day weekend, and then after Labor Day weekend, we're going to switch and go back into the Old Testament for a little bit. So these New Testament stories, I think, will probably be a little bit more brief in their studies because they're a little shorter stories and sections here in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where they are found anyway. Now, I've neglected to start with a prayer, so we will go ahead and do that now. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day that you have given to us. We ask that you would bless our time in study and in preparation for your word. Be with all of us at Holy Cross Sunday School. Bless our teaching and education, and may you continue to work through the word of God that is taught and proclaimed here. May it continue also to enter into all of the families of all the people that are gathered together at Holy Cross, and may you continue to cause their faith to grow. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, some background on the story of Zacchaeus. We'll talk a little bit more about who Zacchaeus is, but it takes place in the Bible text in Luke chapter 19. And Luke chapter 19, again, comes in Luke's Gospel. And in Luke's Gospel, a reminder of some of the themes there, is that there's a focus and an emphasis on inclusion of those that are not Jews or not of the Jewish faith. So I believe Zacchaeus would fit into this category. Another theme that's prevalent in Luke's gospel is sort of the great reversal theme too. So in Luke's story, you hear a lot of stories about people that are seemingly worthless or seemingly having nothing, and then all of a sudden they're blessed with everything. And that's the theme of Mary's song, and it's just all over through Luke. Perhaps a more popular example is the prodigal son story, who squanders his wealth and then all of a sudden gets everything too. So that's unique to Luke's gospel. This story is also unique to Luke's gospel, and timing-wise, we find it, toward the end of Jesus' ministry. This comes again in Luke 19, and it's only a little bit later in Luke chapter 19 that we see Jesus walking into Jerusalem on a donkey for Palm Sunday. So this is probably, if I were to guess, I mean, the way it's placed in the text would be less than 2 weeks before Jesus dies on the cross and is risen again by the Father on Easter morning. So this is, again, wrapping up. So by this time, too, you will see that Jesus is a pretty popular guy at the time. They didn't have television or cell phones as entertainment back then, so the source of entertainment for people was to go and follow around just more charismatic people. And Jesus certainly had a following for some of the uncharacteristic teachings that he said, and certainly for his miracles would have drawn some attention to. So we'll hear about there's a big crowd here that's integral to the plot of the story about Jesus and Zacchaeus. So we will turn now and we'll listen to how it starts off in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Let me get the audio pulled up here.
Luke 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich.
Pausing right there, that he obviously at the beginning is talking about Jesus. So this comes right off the heels of Jesus healing a blind beggar there. And all the people after Jesus healed that beggar gave praise to God. So he's continuing. He is entering Jericho. Jericho, known elsewhere in the Bible for Joshua and the walls of Jericho, where all the people marched around the city 7 times and the walls came tumbling down. Jericho is located in a key spot geographically too, so it's pretty central for trade and commerce there. And so that's crucial to understand Zacchaeus and his job as a tax collector as well. Now, tax collectors worked a little bit differently in the Bible times than what they do now. Now, obviously, we have to report what we make, and then we pay to the government. But how that worked back in Jesus' day, it's outlined in the Lutheran Study Bible when it talks about Levi being a tax collector, too. And the commentary says that Romans and local rulers awarded the right to collect taxes to the highest bidder, allowing local tax gatherers to levy a surcharge on the taxes they collected. Tax collectors typically abused the practice and were generally considered dishonest, traitors, and sinners. So what that means is that these tax collectors would go around and they would collect money, and then they were known to basically add on a little bit more and demand payment for that, and then they would pad their own pockets. So, example, if you actually owed the government $100, what the tax collector, first of all, you wouldn't know that, but the tax collector would. And then he would say, okay, now you have to pay $150 for your taxes. So the tax collector would turn over $100 to the government, and then, $50 he would keep in his own pocket. So again, they're known for being shrewd, and there wasn't good communication then, so nobody knew how much they should have been paying. It was all kind of at the mercy of the government and these tax collectors. So naturally they weren't really liked very well, because everybody knew that they would just take advantage of the system that way. So Zacchaeus was one that was definitely not very well liked. You can imagine what it might have been like living as one of these tax collectors, probably didn't have much of a social life or have any friends, and was generally disliked in the community too. It also says that he was a chief tax collector too, and was rich. So it says that he was good at his job, and he was really good at padding his own pockets apparently too. So let's see why he enters the picture here, picking up in verse 3.
And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way.
Okay, so he was curious about who this Jesus was. And I think this is telling too, on a number of reasons. I think it points out that he really didn't have fulfillment in his life going on. At least that's what I think. There has to be some sort of reason for him to see what Jesus was all about. Maybe he just wanted a little source of entertainment, but I think there was something more too. And that's a common thing that you hear with rich people, is that their money does not truly bring them fulfillment in the way that they need and that all people need. So fulfillment is found in Christ and real relationships too, probably. Neither of which Zacchaeus had at that moment. It says he was small in stature, so the popular song we'll play at the end says he was a wee little man. Also acknowledges that there's a crowd that's there gathering to see Jesus, so you heard that in the background there. And for those of you that have been in a big crowd, think like a Cardinals game or other major sporting event or concert, height makes a big difference there. When you're taller, you can kind of see where the people are headed and what's ahead and look where to go. So he just didn't have that advantage at all and wouldn't be able to see anything. So he ran ahead and started climbing a tree.
And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him,
Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.
Really fascinating. No introduction. Jesus knows exactly who he is. Jesus knows his name, and he calls him by name. And he's very... very assertive with this too, right? Just commanding Zacchaeus to come down and saying, I must stay at your house today. So, pretty imperative. I'm trying to wrap my mind about how Zacchaeus might have felt. First of all, I might be shocked and scared that Jesus knows my name and knows what I'm all about. I might be wondering... maybe why me too? That question might be going through my head as well.
So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully.
I think this is important too. If you heard that Jesus was coming to you, how would you respond? Would you be anxious and nervous about it, or would you be excited about it? I think, if I were to ask you this question 24 hours from now, you might have a different answer too. And I think it's possible that we could have both answers, because that shows the dynamic of who we are as people. If we feel like we are sinners and we're ashamed of everything bad that we have done, to know that Jesus comes into our house can be a very intimidating thing. Or if we are confident in who we are as somebody who is loved and accepted in Christ Jesus, then we would be happy and glad to receive Jesus. So our Lutheran teachings and doctrines call this kind of the sinner and saint paradigm, where we are sinners on the one hand and saints on the other hand too. So right now we see a little glimpse of this, of where Zacchaeus' mindset is to receiving Jesus joyfully. Shows that shows what he thinks of Jesus right from the get-go. Is that he sees Jesus as one who brings him love, who brings him forgiveness, and not condemnation right away. So he's happy about it. Now, naturally, this causes quite a stir. Of all the people in the crowd, Jesus calls out this guy. That's pretty shocking. So let's hear how that goes.
And when they saw it, they all grumbled.
He has gone in to be the guest of a man who was a sinner.
Yeah, so here's probably, well, if you can even place ourselves into, you know, where are we in this situation, we might actually fit in with the rest of the crowd too. You know, because when Jesus calls and singles out somebody that's not really connected to him at all, when he's surrounded by, you know, the disciples, I think the disciples would be included in the ones that have grumbled, and probably a whole bunch of other people who have been faithfully following Jesus around for the last, you know, 2.5 to 3 years of his ministry, grumbling about it. So that's akin to, you know, all of us as church members that go every single Sunday, and then all of a sudden you see that God's grace and forgiveness goes to somebody else. It sometimes has, and definitely has the potential to make us mad and upset about it. You know, how come God gets to come to them? You know, and here we are, you know, trying to do our best and live a faithful life, and God passes me by. So, that's the grumbling aspect. It also goes to show, too, that eating down and having meals with somebody is also very important in Bible times as well. Because it's a symbol of welcome, a symbol of acceptance, a symbol of family and good and right relationships, too. So that's another thing I think we have to some degree today as well.
And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord,
"Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold."
Now that's a very bold promise by Zacchaeus too. Half my goods I give to the poor. This is also off the heels of Luke 18. A little bit earlier there is the story about the rich ruler that says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And then he basically tells him to keep the commandments to inherit eternal life. The rich guy says, "Yes, I've done all these things." And then Jesus says, "Well, you still have to sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." And so the rich man walked away sad. And then Jesus used that as an opportunity to talk about wealth and riches, saying how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And interesting, you know, just a little bit later, here's Zacchaeus. The text calls him rich. And here he is using his riches that had been given to him by God for good. "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." So here I think we see that, you know, it's not riches themselves that are the sinful thing. It's just the attitude and the use of those riches which are the problematic things. You know, Zacchaeus is a rich man who's using his riches to benefit others. And you know, that's really what I think what God hopes for, too, is to have all of us use those things that God has given to us to his glory and for the benefit of others. Now, Jesus has some other pointed words, too, some really powerful words in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 19.
And Jesus said to him,
"Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Huge, powerful statement in 19 verse 10. That's really kind of the heart of the gospel message there. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Also, you know, Jesus, you know, just demonstrates that Zacchaeus has this on a spiritual level too. Today, salvation has come to this house. So Zacchaeus, by faith, receives Christ's forgiveness and love and acceptance there. And also calls him a son of Abraham. I think that's important too, because I don't know if he actually was literally a son of Abraham. It goes back to, it reminds me of that story in the Gospels where, I think it's in John's Gospel, but I'm not sure, where, you know, Jesus says, you know, well, we are, it has a discussion and with the Jews and Pharisees, and they say, "Well, we are sons of Moses and sons of Abraham." And then Jesus says, "Well, I could create rocks and they would be, you know, descendants of Abraham too." it's all about family. And how does one become part of God's family? When they have forgiveness and life and salvation. So that means that Zacchaeus, by faith, has received those gifts. Now, verse 10 is also huge, too. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You can't be saved from something if you don't need saving. And that's an important point for us to realize, too, is that we have to admit and acknowledge the fact that we are lost, you know, in the same way Zacchaeus was lost, and that is, we are sinful, and we need to be saved from that. And that's why the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came, to seek and find us out and to save us. So, huge gospel point right at the very end. And this is basically all, you know, huge gospel demonstration by Jesus. Picking out a man without any sort of worthiness or qualifications or anything. He just chooses him and says, I'm going to love him, welcome him, and accept him. And that's that. And that's really what the faith relationship is all about. So I think that's how we can, you know, teach that to our children too, in Sunday school and otherwise, is to just focus on that gospel message. Now, talking about some ways to extend the lesson a little bit, definitely I would say for the little children, you know, they have a kids song that goes well and talks about the story in a wonderful way. I'll tack that on to the end of this podcast to get you familiar with that if you're not already so. So I think that's one way to do that. I think, you know, another way too, you know, this one could be one where you could sort of act it out. There are probably a number of children's books that retell the story too and talk about it with pictures. I'm sure there are plenty of resources for that as well. In fact, I've used some at Holy Cross Preschool before too. It's called the freebibleimages.com, and they have, you know, probably about one slide or image per verse too that talks about it, perhaps even more, so you could really tell the story using pictures that way. You could even, you know, act it out. You know, you can pretend to have kids pretend to climb a tree using their hands to do that. Pretend to be Jesus, you know, on the ground looking up. So you put your hands over your eyes and you look up. You know, invite kids to do the motions with Jesus to come on down. So, you know, wave your arms in a circle towards yourself. You know, those sorts of things. Hard to describe in an audio podcast that's without seeing it, you know. So yeah, those are the big things too. You could even talk about that whole last verse there too, a little bit more abstract concept, but talking about lost things and, you know, finding lost things. Again, that's kind of a theme in Luke as well. For the older kids too, you know, some of the things that we talked about too, you could get into a discussion on wealth. You know, is wealth a sin? How could wealth be used appropriately? You could also talk about forgiveness and what that means, who deserves forgiveness. You can also talk about response to forgiveness too. What does it look like in people's lives when forgiveness makes a difference? It just kind of flows forth naturally. For example, did Jesus command Zacchaeus to go and give everything to the poor? No, but the joyful gospel response worked that in him so that he did that on his own from the gospel and from the Holy Spirit. So you could talk about that as well. You could also talk about that upside down theme and that great reversal theme with the older kids as well, you know, and see if you can pick out some other stories or illustrations in scripture that tie together with all of that too. And then even just, why do we need saving and what does that look like? So a lot of different ways that you could go in extending the lesson with this too. Even online as well, I think I've talked about this story in confirmation class when we talk about the Office of the Keys and Forgiveness section there. So there's you know, a couple of YouTube videos that talk about, well, they're just kind of modern day adaptations of the Zacchaeus story too. One that's kind of done with like pencil sketches on a notepad that can get them thinking about it in a different way too. I would say don't use that exclusively as a Bible story, but you can certainly supplement that and then talk about that too. So a lot of stuff that's readily available here for this one. Okay, so law and gospel here. I would hone in again on 19 verse 10 there. The law is talking about how we are lost in our sins like Zacchaeus is lost. So that's what I would say. And then the gospel in this one I would say is Jesus comes to save us and forgive us as he did with Zacchaeus. Jesus comes to save us and forgive us as he does with Zacchaeus. So law and gospel right there. And again, you know, lead with the gospel. You know, preach that gospel of Jesus and what he has done for Zacchaeus and what he has done for you personally and also for all those that will be in your classes coming up this weekend and beyond. Alright, we'll close with a word of prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us once again to dig down deep and to study your word, and we thank you for that gift that you have given to us. Once again, I ask your blessings to be upon all the teachers and all the students who will be learning this weekend, and ask that you would continue to cause their faith to grow by the power of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in conclusion, I'm going to play the Zacchaeus song, and one thing I learned in the last probably couple months is that Concordia Publishing House, CPH, who does our curriculum, they sell a number of kids' music CDs and other CDs too, and they have some of these songs just publicly available on YouTube. So this one is the song that's called Zacchaeus. It's from an album called The Little Ones Sing Praise, copyright Concordia Publishing House 2011.
Zacchaeus, you come down.
For I'm going to your house.